This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, I had a conversation with a young woman and a young man that is perfect for today. She saw a billboard, and she said, it said, let go and let God. I don't get it. And the young man looked at her and he said, haven't you ever seen that before? Everybody knows that saying. She said, well, I haven't. Let go and let God what? And then they turned to me. And I said, that's the point exactly. We don't always know. Let go and let God. When we are trusting for God to show us the way, that is when we have really let go. And she said, the way where? And I said, the way to deep love, the way to true peace. And if I had read the readings for today, and if I was really had already prepared my sermon, I would have said, the way to the promised land. So I offer you this morning a definition of the promised land and two questions. The promised land, in the way that I am defining it, is the realm of God, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in our Lord's Prayer all the time. It's what we pray for. That's the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land of that authentic love of which I spoke to my young friends. And that deep peace that passes understanding in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. So I can't imagine anybody that wouldn't want to live in that land as defined like that. But the first question I would pose is, do we want to live in that land? Do we want to? And it's a challenge because if we say yes to that, that means we have to give up control. And that goes along with it, is that giving up control. So it's like that old bumper sticker and the retort for it. The old bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot. And the retort is, if God is your co-pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat. Joshua led the people to the promised land. And we heard in the reading today that he had taken them all the way to the River Jordan. They had let go of control and were following God without knowing what would happen. And they sure murmured and complained and wanted to turn back, but they made it. They made it to the promised land. In our reading today's, it is so clear. So if we say yes to that first question, that yes, we want to live in the promised land, then the answer to the second question, which is, how do we let go and allow God to continually guide us to that place? The answer begins with the reading from our gospel today. And I say begins because living in that place, as I defined it, living in that realm of God on earth right now as it is in heaven, is a lifelong adventure and a lifelong journey that is grace-filled and glorious and joyful and can be excruciatingly painful because of the choices we have to make sometimes. As you know, in today's scripture, what led up to it was Jesus being tested again and again and again by the Pharisees. They tried, but they didn't get him to give in to breaking any of their laws. And on the contrary, as you know, last week, they tried to test him by saying, which is the greatest law in all of the 613 laws? And he gave them back the Torah, not only that, but summarized all of it by saying, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. On those two laws hang all the law and the prophets. And that shut them up. And they asked no more questions, which doesn't mean they stopped plotting to kill him. He then had had it with the Pharisees, so he turned to his disciples. He knew his time was short, and he said to them, "Be done with them. Enough. Do what they teach. What they teach is good, but they aren't practicing what they teach. Don't do what they do. It's all for show. You want to live in the promised land? Do the teaching. You want the land of milk and honey? Serve other people. For that is where we find it." He was talking about that deep peace, that authentic love of which I spoke to my young friends. And he said, if you want that, the very first step is humility. And Gandhi echoed these very words when he said, be the peace you want in the world. Be the change you wish to see in the world. We have to live it. The first step in the journey to the promised land is humility. And you'll know when you get there because the fruits of the Spirit will be there. Peace and gentleness and patience and love, self-control and humility. Some years ago, I got into an argument with my boss's wife, and not this boss. And we were very close friends. She was a devout Christian, and I had been working in the office for some time, and I had done something that I knew was accurate and right, and she didn't see it the same way. And we got into an argument, and we both were losing sleep over it. It was troubling, and I, as God would have it, was in a class that week, and it was on prayer. And this wise teacher taught us that in difficult times, if you don't know what to do, you ask for God's prayer, not yours. And you get quiet, and you ask, okay, God, what would you have me do? So I figured, okay, I'll try it. Revolutionized my prayer life. I sat in the silence, upset about this situation, saying, what should I do? And I waited and waited and listened. And the word that came to me, I knew was God's word because it surprised me. And the word was humility. I thought it was going to be the power to be able to tell her clearly that I was right. It was humility. And so then I started to cry. And then the next day, went to her and told her, and she started to cry. And then we worked it out. And the solution was somewhere in the middle, as it usually is. I wasn't completely right, and nor was she. But we had to come together in humility to live in the promised land. I'll never forget that gift of that teacher, following the advice to ask for God's prayer when we don't know what to do. And I wish I could stay tuned in like that all the time. Richard Rohr writes of it in this way. He's a great contemporary theologian if you don't know him. He writes, we are the receiver stations, and we slowly learn the right frequencies to pick up the signals of God. We are the receiver stations. In our second reading today, Paul commends the Christians in Thessalonica because they had heard the word of God and not human word. He commended them for that exact thing. And in our psalm today, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He put their feet on a straight path. He showed them which way to go. God's prayer was the way to go. To live in this way requires us to take off our masks. Halloween always reminds me of this, to drop our fears of what others will think. The masks of trying to save face in front of other people. We all suffer from that if we're honest. To take off the masks of thinking we could live this life all on our own. We take off the masks of keeping up appearances, needing to have attention all the time, or power or control. And these masks hide our real selves as children of God. And these times call for us to be real and to do the words of Jesus in today's gospel, to serve others and help heal this hurting world. There's a website online, put out by the United Nations, and it's a real-time tabulation of the world's population. And if you go there, it shows you in all the different countries about all the births and all the deaths, and I thought it was interesting. There's double the number of births happening than deaths today. And what the tabulation is showing is that at 4:21 a.m. tomorrow, on Halloween, 4:21 a.m., the population of the planet will reach 7 billion. 7 billion people on the face of the planet. And I'm thinking it's a really perfect time for us to let God be in the driver's seat, to have God be in control, and to listen for God's direction. It's possible, and it's time. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to live in promised land when I can't even pay my bills, when my son is an addict, when I'm trying to take care of a sick loved one? How do I do that? How do I possibly do that? Well, we ask for God's prayer, as my wise teacher taught, and we listen. And sometimes the answer, the real humility, is asking somebody else for help and being able to accept that help. And that's difficult for some people, to receive help. Sometimes that is humility and allowing the giver to give to you. Each of us must answer these questions for ourselves. We gather together for this very purpose this morning, to hold each other up, to acknowledge Christ in one another, to reassure one another that healing is real and that the gospel is alive and well. And that when we come to this altar rail, we come for solace, not for solace only, but for strength, not for pardon only, but for renewal. When we reach out our hands to receive communion, we are saying, yes, I need you, God. I need you, Jesus Christ. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you to fill me with the realization of your constant presence no matter what I do. I need you to come, be within me and through me and around me. Show me the promised land. And then we leave and go out into the world and begin our real service in joy and peace. Something brought you here. Something brought you here this morning. And I'm thinking it's the magnetism of the promised land, of Christ's love. And in all humility, we can let go. And we can let God and transform this world. Amen.